This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How to Study a Bible Passage.
I thank God for the godly men of courage at Saddleback. Guys like my dad. My dad was an average preacher, but he was a pretty good carpenter. And he knew how to build stuff. And in his lifetime, he traveled all over the world at his expense, building over 150 church buildings. He built them in Iran. He built them in South America. He built them up near the North Pole. He built them in Guatemala after earthquakes. He's been, you know, all around the world in many, many, many different places. Firebombed churches in Jerusalem. He'd go and rebuild them. When Saddam pushed the Kurds into northern Iraq after the Gulf War, it was my dad who took 19 guys in, and those Kurdish refugees were dying of thirst because Saddam had pushed him up in an area that had no water. My dad took 19 guys in, just church guys, and they went in and they dug 9 wells and saved the lives of those Kurdish Muslims. They weren't Christians. They were Muslims. Why? Because Jesus loves everybody. And I remember at age 76, my dad was dying of cancer, and his lungs were half filled with water. And he told me, he said, Rick, I think I got one more trip in me. I want to go to Siberia and build a church. And I said, Dad, you've always been a godly gambler. If you want to die with your boots on, so be it. And if you die on the roof in a church in Siberia, that's probably the way you'd like to go rather than hooked up to a bunch of stuff at home looking out on a golf course. One of the last pictures of my dad that I have in my office is my dad on the top of a roof in a little church in Siberia in the snow, nailing down the roof at 76. That is a godly man. That is a man who made his life count for more than golf, for more than making money, for more than having fun. He made his life count in the jungles of Brazil and Alaska and Australia. You know, the thing is, we got stories like that all through this church. Now, this is the second stage. First, observation. What does it say? Then we looked at interpretation. What does it mean? Well, it's saying these people are worthy honor. What kind of people are worthy honor? Caring, consistent, cooperative, considerate, courageous people. Now we go to the third thing, which is correlation. Correlation is we ask in a Bible study, is there anything else in the Bible that will help me understand this passage? Now, the first question I'd ask is there anything else in the Bible about these guys named Timothy and Epaphroditus? And the answer is, oh yeah. In fact, there's 2 complete books in the Bible about Timothy. They're called 1st and 2nd Timothy. So I could go and I could read 1st and 2nd Timothy and find out a whole lot more about why this guy, Paul said, there's nobody else like him. And then what about Epaphroditus? He's mentioned one other time. Later on in this book, 2 chapters later, in Philippians chapter 4, it tells us why they sent him. So I'd ask that. The other thing I might ask is I'd ask, does the Bible have anything to say about these qualities, about caring, and about consistency and cooperation and consideration and courage? And so I would go and do, what does the Bible say about these things? Now, to do that, you have to use what's called a concordance. A concordance is a word index of every word in the Bible. And so it shows you what the Bible says about every single word. It's just a word index. And depending on your translation, if you have a New International Version translation, you want to get a New International Version concordance because it'll have the words in there. If you have a Living Bible translation, you want a Living Bible concordance. This one here is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, okay? And it's a the King James Version. Now, it has every word in it. So, for instance, if I want to say, what does the Bible say about debt? I'm in debt right now. What is it about? I'd look up the word debt, and it would give me every single verse in the Bible on debt that uses the word debt. If I say, what about business? I'd like to know, are there any business principles in the Bible? What does the Bible say about business? And I'd say, well, let's look up the word business. And I'd find the word business, and it gives me every verse in the Bible on business. If I say, what about success? I want to be successful in life. What does the Bible say about success? And I would look up the word success and it would give me every verse in the Bible on success. Now, an exhaustive concordance is one that has every word in the Bible. That's the one you want. I mean, like this one has every the. It'll tell you where every the is if you want to do a Bible study of the word the. I don't recommend it, but the. Okay. And so, most study Bibles themselves, a study Bible is a Bible that has some study tools added into it. And at the end of study Bibles, they have what's called a baby concordance. At the very back, it's a smaller index of words. It doesn't have every word, but it has a few of the main words to help you look up. And when sometimes you can remember a word in a verse, but you don't know where it is, you go, like for instance, for God so loved the world, okay? And I say, well, okay, I don't know where that one is. Let's look up world. And it would tell you the main verses that use the word world. And then you know where that verse is in the Bible. It's an index. Now, you need one of these to do correlation. You can't do correlation any other way. You got to get a concordance. If you're like me and you like to study lots of translations, you're going to want to get a software program that gives all the concordances of all the translations together. Let me give you an example. Look up here on the screen. This is a program I like to use. It's called Word Search. And Word Search is a program that has, my particular program here has 15 different translations. Let's see if it's coming up on screen. It's not on this one down here. So see here it says Philippians 2, and I can read it in the New International Version, in the New Living, in the New Century, and I can just go down and read one verse at a time and see how it compares in each different translation. I go, oh, and that gives me an interpretation as I read through these. But let's say I finished and I will say, I want to study, Timothy. What else is there about Timothy? So I could say by words, and I would go Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y. And I'm going to study Timothy in every translation, boom. And it's going to tell me there, these are all the verses on Timothy in the Bible. Starting, he's first mentioned in Acts 16:1 and in Acts 16:2 and Acts 16:3. He's mentioned in Acts 17. And I just go through the Bible and find every verse on Timothy. Or let's say I say, look, I want to study the word considerate. Because I need to be more considerate of my husband. I need to be more considerate of my wife. So I put that word considerate in there and I hit all and the word considerate is used, see up here, 18 times in the Bible. Okay. And I would just start going down and looking at them, and it's highlighted. For instance, here, this one says, we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. I need that one. Here's one over here. I try my best to be considerate of everyone's feelings in these matters. Here's another one. Be courteous and considerate in everything. He was most considerate of how we felt. And then here's Philippians 4:5. Let everyone know how considerate you are. The Lord is near. See how cool that is? But that's how you would do correlation. Finally, you come to the fourth thing in Bible study, which is application. And remember, this is the most important thing of all. You've heard me say this before. You only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do. It's not enough to study the Bible. Study is not enough. Study will give you a big brain, little heart. You got to do it. Remember, don't deceive yourselves. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, James 1:22. So you want to do what it says. Now, in application, you do what I've been teaching you in the small groups, and I've already taught you three ways on how to do an application. We talk about picture it. What's the scene in your mind? You could do that. Pronounce it. Say a word one sentence at a time. This last week, if you were in small groups, we talked about space pets. Anybody remember space pets? Okay. Nine questions to ask about any text. And you say, space pets, SPACEPETS. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an attitude to change? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a prayer to pray in this verse? Is there an error to avoid? Is there something, truth to believe? Is there something I can thank God for? And I would do space pets on this passage. Say, is there a sin to confess? Maybe. There's one in my life. Is there a promise to claim? No. Is there an attitude to change? Yes. I need to change that attitude. Is there a command to obey? Yes. Honor men like this. Is there an example to follow? Yes. Five examples. The example of consistency, the example of caring, the example of cooperating, the example of being considerate, the example of being courageous. And so I would look at this and go, is there a command to obey? Yeah, honor. Example to follow? Five. Attitude to change? Yes. And then I would write out a sentence on what I'm going to do about it. Personal, practical, possible, provable. Set a date. And I'd write out a date. Let me give you a couple examples of what you might have as an application of what we just studied. Okay? First it says, honor those like this. So I'd go, do I know anybody like this? Do I know any men in my life who are caring and consistent and cooperative and considerate and courageous? Do I know anybody like that? Then I need to honor them. It may be your dad. It may be your husband, a brother, a boyfriend. It may be a Christian friend that you know, somebody you know. The Bible commands you to honor those godly men. So you figure out a way to honor them this week. You write them a thank you note. In my case, you could have sent me Cinnabons before Daniel Plan. The bottom line is you look for ways to thank people. You know how what I did, my personal one, when I was studying this? Three leaders from Moscow, Russia, flew to America to meet with us and our peace team. These three men are responsible for about 60% of all the churches in Russia. They are godly men. And they stood for the faith during all those years when communism was trying to stamp out Christianity in Russia, when it was against the law to be a believer. You could be thrown in the gulag, you could be killed, you could be tortured. And those guys stood the test. They were proven faithful. So you know what I did when they left? I wrote them thank you notes. Thank you, not for coming to see me. Thank you for staying firm to the gospel. Thank you for standing up for the faith when it wasn't convenient. In all those years when it was against the law in Russia to be a believer. You need to honor men like that. Honor men like that. So I first would say, how can I honor other people? If you know somebody who's consistent, caring, cooperative, considerate, courageous, you do that. And then the second thing, application, I go, which of these am I going to work on in my life this week? Which one am I the weakest on? Do I need to be more considerate? Do I need to be more courageous for the cause of Christ? Do I need to be more caring and think about other people, not just my own agenda and my business deal and my needs? Do I need to be more cooperative and actually be a part of a team, be in a small group? And you write down which ones you're going to work on. Friends, this message is desperately needed today because we are in a culture that idolizes celebrities. Yesterday, I tweeted a statement. I said, you know that the sun is setting on a culture when short, small men cast long shadows. You know that the sun is setting on a culture when small men cast long shadows. What we desperately need today are men of God. What we desperately need today are women of God who are caring, consistent, cooperative, considerate, and courageous. And you thought this passage had nothing to say. Let's bow our heads. This week's memory verse is thy word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 11. And I hope this week you'll take your little memory chain and you'll work on the four memory verses we've had now in 4 weeks. Because you cannot be a godly man, you cannot be a godly woman unless you build your life on the word and it's in your heart and mind. Father, I want to thank you for men in this church who have proven worthy of honor by caring about more than just their business or themselves. For those who have been consistent and have served you in tough times as well as easy times. For those who have been cooperative and been in small groups and have gone on peace teams and have served as brothers and as co-workers and as fellow soldiers. Lord, we need all of these in our lives. Help every man and every woman to be more courageous, to be willing to walk 800 miles to deliver an offering, if that's what it takes. Help us to be considerate of each other's fears and weaknesses and differences. May we use the model of Timothy and Epaphroditus to motivate us to change. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created a tool called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page two-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How You Can Know the Bible Came from God and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has 5 purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him. That's called worship. He wants you to belong to His family. That's called fellowship. He wants you to grow in character, to be more like Christ. That's called discipleship. And He wants you to learn to serve using your gifts and talents. Serve God by serving others. That's called your ministry. Finally, He wants you to share the good news and your life message with other people around the world. That's called your mission. I'd like to close today to talk to you for just a second, about your personal mission. Did you know that the Bible says every time somebody accepts the Lord, they throw a party in heaven? Did you know that? It's right there in Luke 15, verse 7, where the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 who don't need to turn to Christ, who are already there. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, there was a party in heaven for you. And by the way, the day that you help somebody else come to know the Lord, there's going to be a party in heaven, but there's also going to be a party in your heart. I want to encourage you today to look outward, to look around you and see the people who need to hear about the love of God, about the message of Christ, about the purpose of life, about the daily hope that we have in our hearts. The Bible says, always be ready to share the hope that is within you. Could I pray for you? And as we bow in prayer, you might want to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I want the joy that you've given me to be shared with other people. And a lot of times I'm afraid or hesitant to talk about you to others. Would you give me so much love for other people that the love overcomes my fears and gives me the right words to say as I share the hope that's in me? Allow me to help others find you, to find real hope, to find joy through knowing you. Thank you, Lord, so much for trusting me to help bring others to you. I want to accept my mission, and I want to use it for your glory and in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Put somebody in my life today that I can tell about you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.